which is found in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 17. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they say, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And may God teach us from his word today as Dan comes forward to share his message on who is Jesus.
Thanks, Michelle, and happy birthday, everyone who's celebrating a birthday. It's wonderful sometimes in your relationship with God that he'll do things that are unexpected and quite lovely. When I moved to Australia at 19 years old, I realized that I didn't know anyone and I wasn't really thinking about my birthday. So I decided to spend one birthday just alone with the Lord. I grabbed my clarinet. I went out to the most beautiful view I could find. And I just sat on this mountain and read my book and had this really neat experience on my birthday alone with God. And then I thought, okay, Lord, I'm going to let you plan my birthday for the next few years and just see what happens. And it was amazing that I didn't tell anyone. And the next year, I was running the adult Bible study. It was called the Young Adults Group at the church. And there was this huge barbecue and about 50 people from the church, and we're all hanging out. And one of the guys came up to me and he said, just small talk, "Hey, when's your birthday?" And I literally went, because I forgot, I pulled out my wallet. It was that day. He said, "Come on." I go, "Here's my birth certificate. This is my birthday." And then the next year, a friend invited me to go skiing. I was at the top of Whistler Mountain skiing, and then again realized, oh my goodness, it's my birthday. And now, years later, it's about five or six of those wonderful occasions, and I was thinking this week, Tuesday morning, coffee hour with my good friends will be my birthday. And Tom, I want a candle and one of those cupcakes, all right? I'm expecting you to make that happen. All right, thanks, buddy. Who do people say Jesus is? Love the question from Jesus himself. And I don't know if you've had that question recently, but our series is on who is he? Who is he? And if you were asked that question today, what would you say? Don't steal Peter's answer, but if someone came up to you today and who do you believe Jesus is, just whisper to your partner beside you and what do you think? What would you say? Go ahead, tell someone. Who is Jesus?
My Savior.
God, my Savior. You can shout it out. Son of God. Lots of different names and titles and constructs. And I thought, let's get right back to this basic question on who Jesus is. And one of the reasons I want to dive into this is many of you, if you thought about it long enough, you could come up with a really, really good answer. And just like Peter, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And one thing is knowing who Jesus is. But unfortunately, a few weeks later, Peter says, "I don't even want to know you." Interesting, eh? You can know exactly who Jesus is, but deny him on the most important night of his life. So we want to know who Jesus is. But as I've mentioned before, we want to know in the traditional Hebrew sense, which is intimate, long-term, fully devoted friendship, like a marriage, like a family, intimacy. So let's ask God to reveal himself, and we'll jump into the scriptures once again. Heavenly Father, we would ask that you would help us to not only know who you are, but to live in such a way that the world knows. That even this week, people would ask the reason for the hope that lies within us. And may we respond with gentleness, respect, and clarity. Thank you, Father, for revealing in your word who you are and revealing to us the person of Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. What a privilege to know the Savior of the world. Thank you for our time together. Thank you for getting us up an hour early to enjoy you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to frame our weeks of study in who Jesus is into three little words that'll help you anchor every message. And I want you to remember the what, the so what, and the now what. I'm going to give you some information. That's going to be the what. Then we're going to ask the question, well, so what? Does that have any relevance in my life? And now what? The step of faith that says, knowing what I know, how will that change my life? What, so what, now what? Who do men say that I am? Popular opinion. It's important to know what people say God is. The men of Issachar, the Bible says in Chronicles, the men of Issachar and the women knew, understood the times, and they knew what they should do. So what are people saying about Jesus? And I looked up on the internet a few very popular people. This one's from a French military leader who you will know, who says this about Jesus. I know men, and I tell you that Jesus Christ is no mere man. Between him and every other person in the world, there is no possible term of comparison. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I have founded empires. But on what did we rest the creation of our genius? Force. Pure force. Jesus Christ founded his empire on love. And at this hour, millions are following him. Mr. Napoleon Bonaparte. The historian H.G. Wells says this, I am an historian, I'm not a believer. But I must confess, as a historian, that this penniless preacher from Nazareth is irrevocably the very center of history. Jesus Christ is easily the most dominant figure in the history of mankind. That's H.G. Wells. I love this Jewish scholar and writer. Jesus Christ is to me the outstanding personality of all time, all history, both as the Son of God and the Son of Man. Everything he ever said or did has value for us today. That is something you can say of no other human being, dead or alive. There is no middle ground to stroll upon. You either accept Jesus or you reject him. A man who was completely innocent offered himself as a sacrifice for the good of others, including his enemies, and became the ransom for the world. It was a perfect act. Mahatma Gandhi, social justice leader. And finally, I love this one, my favorite. As a child, I received instruction both in the Bible and the Talmud. I am a Jew. But I am enthralled by the luminous figure of the Nazarene Jesus. No one can read the Gospels without feeling the actual presence of Jesus. His personality pulsates in every word. Nothing is filled with such life. Albert Einstein. Isn't that great? There's more. Larry King said, if I could interview anybody in history, it would be Jesus, and I would ask him one question. Were you born of a virgin? Were you the incarnate Son of God? On that, Larry King said, would hinge my entire life, and that would explain everything to me. And our friend John Lennon, of course, his claim to fame was, we're more popular than Jesus now, said John Lennon to the London Evening Standard. He said, I don't know which will go first, rock and roll or Christianity. And then finally, after being in a jail cell for a long time and going through probably one of the worst public humiliations in modern times, an emaciated, wounded Jimmy Baker started his book thanking a whole bunch of people. And in one of the columns on who he thanked, Jimmy Baker said, I just want to thank my Lord Jesus, who never left me, my best friend. Isn't that great? Lots of explanations, people, lots of things to say, who is Jesus? But if you want to ask who Jesus is, someone mentioned emphatically this morning that he's God himself. That's where we're going today. He's divine. Jesus, 12 times in the book of John, uses the phrase, I am. And if you were to say to Jesus, what's your name? Or as Moses did, God, what's your name? He answers. And he answers with four consonants called the tetragrammaton. Tetragrammaton, Yehovah, Yahweh. But I can't do as good a job as Cecil B. DeMille's and Charlton Heston. So we'll let you watch what God says when Moses says, what's your name? There's no volume.
I am here.
There we go.
Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Lord, Lord, why do you not hear the cries of their children in the bondage of Egypt? I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know sons. Therefore I will send thee, Moses, unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring my people out of Egypt.
Who am I, Lord, that you should send me? How can I lead this people out of bondage? What words can I speak that they will heed?
I will teach thee. Say, when thou hast brought forth the people, they shall serve me upon this mountain. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Now therefore go, and I will be with thee.
But if I say to your children, the God of their fathers has sent me, they will ask, what is his name? And how shall I answer them?
I am that I am. Thou shalt say, I am, hath sent me on.
You gotta love that movie, eh? I am has sent you to them. That phrase, I am, is picked up by Jesus, and the word Yahweh, Jehovah, is also an appropriate translation for that word. That's God's name, I am. Jehovah, it can be pronounced Yahweh, and it means the self-existent. Nothing started him, nothing finishes him, and nothing keeps him going. That's the name of eternal God. So when Jesus, we fast forward into the Gospels, when Jesus speaks to his friends in John, he uses that seven times, and he says, I am the. Picking up on the theme, what are those I ams of Jesus Christ? You can yell them out. I am the light of the world, the Lamb of God, bread of life, resurrection and the life, the door, the way, the truth, and the life. And finally, the good shepherd, and yes, the Messiah. There's a bunch. And when Jesus says that, he's appropriating the actual name of God for himself. So when you are asked by people, did Jesus actually say he was God? The answer is yes, on many occasions. And it's the most important doctrinal moment that we can understand when you want to know who is Jesus. He's divine. And when I was in Australia, I had a conversation with an old, wise Bible teacher. And I asked him, I feel my Bible teachings getting a little dull and boring. I was trying to teach through things I didn't understand and look academic and impressive. And he said this, which changed my world. Dan, the question is not, are you boring? You should be asking yourself, are you bored? And I know it's an hour early. But when you hear Charlton Heston, hear the voice of God say, I am who I am, that should excite you. And we should hear a couple of amens out there. All right? Pentecostal friends, the fact that Jesus is God himself should really ignite you. And as we learned this week in our evangelism seminar, God will do the work of telling people what he's like through you. Sean Jones from South Africa, our dear friend, has been praying for his mom for 30 years with no results for her to come to Christ. And 2 weeks ago, the phone call came from South Africa, Sean, your mom has 2 weeks to live. She has cancer, and you need to come down. Sean has some passport issues about leaving the country and coming back. It's difficult with his visa coming from South Africa. But he said, I need to tell my mom about Jesus. So he goes down there, and the first thing the doctors do is apologize. They got the diagnosis wrong. It's not cancer, it's TB, and she went home from the hospital not feeling well, and the family's around her, and she said, Sean, I think it's time I started thinking about eternity and talk to you about Jesus, because after that scare, I don't know how long any of us have. And Sean asked his family very politely, get out of the room. I need to be alone with mom. And for the next hour, he walked through the gospel, making sure his mom knew exactly what she was doing. And through a half an hour of sobbing and bawling, she came to Christ, an older lady. 30 years of prayer, 1 hour of ministry. So, if the Old Testament is any indication, it's a long time coming when Isaiah says, Lord, would you rend the heavens and just come down? Job, if I could just speak to him. And then John shows up and says, behold the Lamb. There he is, who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the God the Old Testament is longing for. In the book of Psalms, the Lord said to me, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Psalm 45, your throne, speaking of Jesus, your throne, O God, will last forever. There are dozens of verses that point to Jesus as being God before he even gets here. The virgin will conceive, Isaiah 6, bear a son. You're going to call his name Emmanuel. El. The El is God. Emmanuel means with us. God with us. And then Isaiah 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son, a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Over and over again, the Messiah is coming. He will be God himself. And in Matthew 1, to Joseph, your betrothed is going to bear a son. Call him Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua. Jesus, Hebrew, Yeshua, word Joshua. He will save his people from their sin. Guess what the name Jesus means? Yahweh, Jehovah, I am, saves. The pointing to God this whole time. That's the what. The Bible points to Jesus as God over and over and over again. And you might ask the question, well, so what? What does that have to do with us? Well, if Jesus is God, we all have a decision to make every day. Do we live as if he's God? And what happens is when Jesus starts to proclaim that he's God himself, there's a little bit of controversy. And when you go into a world that does not acknowledge Jesus as God, you will have controversy, I promise you. And here it comes. The Jews were seeking to kill Jesus, John 5, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was calling his own Father God, making himself equal with God. Jesus always said, my Father and I are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. C.S. Lewis would say, when you make those kind of claims, there's only three options. You're crazy, you're lying, or you are who you say you are. And it's reasonable when we ask who Jesus is, to do the research on who he says he is. Well, who do men say that I am is important. Who do you, as disciples of Jesus, who do you say Jesus is? That's important. But the most important is, well, who does Jesus say he is? Well, the argument continues, and the Pharisees, who are very upset with this rabbi who didn't go to their schools and didn't learn like they did, why is everyone gathering around him? So they appeal to their history. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And Jesus said, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father, making himself equal with God, who glorifies me. And I say, he is our God, but you don't know him. They know all about him. They've memorized the first five books of the Old Testament, which is about Jesus. But do they know him? I know God, Jesus says. And if I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. That's pretty bold claims to the intelligentsia of the day. But I know him and I keep his word. And they said, Jesus says, Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. And then they interject, what? You're not even 50 years old and you're calling Abraham? You say you've seen Abraham? And Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, I love this, before Abraham was, I am Yahweh, very God. And they picked up stones to kill him. You see, when those who hated Jesus would make clear statements that Jesus said he was God, did miracles, and changed the world, we call that in apologetics a positive message from a hostile source. Positive evidence from a hostile source. I didn't want Patrick Mahomes to win the Super Bowl. I wanted Jalen Hurts to. But 20 years from now, although I didn't like the red Kansas City team on that day, I'm going to have to admit Patrick Mahomes beat Jalen Hurts because it's true. Positive evidence from a hostile source. I don't want to admit that, but it's true. And they didn't either. Well, it's the Feast of Dedication. And then they get really pushy and they say to Jesus and John again, if you really are the Christ, just say it plainly. Jesus said, I told you and you do not believe. My Father, who has given these beautiful people to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father, says Jesus to the hostile crowd, I and the Father are one. That's, and again, the stones come. So don't be afraid when you're communicating the gospel to people if the stones come out. We learned this week that there's red lights, orange lights, green lights, and blue lights. You may get a red light when you're talking about the gospel. Move on. You may get a yellow light and someone might want to listen to you. That's fine. You may get a green light. I'm in. I want to know this God of yours. And you may get a blue light, which is an encouraging friend who knows Jesus already, to say, keep sharing your faith. They said, you're blaspheming, making yourself equal with God. And Jesus says, the works that I do in the Father, so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father, over and over and over. And Pilate finally says, are you the king? Are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus looks Pilate in the eye and says, what you're saying is true. It is as you say. And I find that really curious because when Herod asked him, he said nothing. Take note of who Jesus speaks to and answers the questions and who Jesus ignores. It's really interesting. I'm of the persuasion when Jesus said to Pilate, you know what? Yeah, I am the king of the Jews. I think Pilate went home, spoke to his wife and said, you warned me about that guy. We need to pursue him. I think we'll see Pilate in heaven, but that's my interpretation. Well, some ammunition for you. Jesus says he's God himself, clearly and emphatically. But a little thing to put in your arsenal and your notes is John 1, Colossians 1, and Hebrews 1. John 1, Colossians 1, and Hebrews 1 is the most emphatic verses in the Bible that emphasize Jesus as divine God. John 1, in the beginnings, picking up from Genesis 1, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and that Word was with God, and that Word was God. Everything was created by Him. In the ancient world, the Logos was like the force in Star Wars. It was the life-controlling force, according to the Greeks, of the entire universe at that time. And John says that life, that force, is a person. His name is Jesus. John 1. Colossians 1. This is probably one of my favorite passages of Scripture. I'll read it slowly. Jesus is spoken of as the image of the invisible God, Colossians 1, the firstborn over all creation. By him, Jesus, everything was created in heaven, on earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, powers, rulers, authorities. All things were created through him and for him. Isn't that encouraging? When you worry about the government and the systems of the world and war, and you think, what is going on planet Earth? Jesus controls it all. He allows lots to happen, but it's never out of his control. He's before all things, Jesus. And I love this, my scientist friends. And in him, all things hold together. Remember in grade 9 science, you guys? All matter was made up of electrons, neutrons, and protons, and everything's exploding and bouncing around. And, you know, you saw those cute little videos of how everything should be just blowing up according to scientific mystery. There's things we don't know in science, and there's things we do know. But apparently, things should just be exploding. And I love this phrase in Colossians 1:17, in him all things hold together. He's the head of the body of the church. Firstborn from among the dead, so that in him everything in Jesus he might have the preeminence. Wow. Jesus preeminent. Not prominent, preeminent. Big difference. My wife Julia is not prominent in my life. Prominent means first. Among many. I think my wife would be a little disappointed if I said, you're number one amongst all my girlfriends. That would be a little insulting, and I might get the edge of the cowboy boot. My wife wears cowboy boots. Preeminent means one and only. Preeminent means one and only. And if the Lord Jesus goes from prominence in your life to preeminence, you'll see a big difference. You'll see a big difference. He is the preeminent God of the universe. For in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through his blood on the cross. What a gospel. The great I am. I love the way Mark Lowry puts it. Mary, did you know this sleeping child you're holding is heaven's perfect lamb? This baby is the great I am. Fascinating. Jesus comes in such humility as the creator of the universe to die for you and me so we would understand that God sacrificed his life for us. There is no religion like that, where you can have a relationship with the one who created you. That's the so what. You in friendship with God. Finally, and I got 3 minutes, so hang in there. Now what? What do you do? Now what? I'll just give you a couple examples. The woman at the well, my favorite I am, she says after a conversation with Jesus, well, she gets the pistols out, turns up for the 45-degree angle. You know how they do it, right? When you're getting rebuked by your teacher, Rob, sit down, Rob. You know the routine. She says, well, I suppose that when the Messiah gets here, he'll tell us everything. And Jesus looks her in the eye and says, the one speaking to you, I am. I am. And she runs. Watch The Chosen. She runs into town. You have to meet this individual. He told me everything. He knew everything. Everything about me. And he didn't reject me. Wow. Whosoever will may come. The centurion. If you've seen Lord of the Rings, I picture the centurions as these murderous orc machines bent on disaster. They're trained to kill. Watch the passion. That's what they do. Trained, murderous, social intelligence of a field gnat, brutal. They just want to destroy, and they're beating Jesus. And this guy sees the way Jesus humbly dies, and the centurion looks at him and says, "Surely you are the Son of God. You're who you say you are." Amazing when Christians suffer well, the power that that speaks to the nations. And then Thomas, I want to see the scars. I'm not surprised. You know, Peter and the girls, "Hey, Jesus, this is Jesus." Thomas goes, "I don't trust any of you anymore." And there's people like that in this room. And you know what? I just don't trust the newsreel. Jesus, I need you to show up. You know what Jesus says to you doubters? You, "I don't believe the fake news. I want you to show up." Jesus says, "No problem, I'll show up. It's great." And Jesus says, "Here, Thomas, you can put your hands right in there." And I love this because Jesus' glorified body in heaven, you're going to still see the scars in his hands. Beautiful new song written. It says, "The only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now." Scars are a picture of a reality that doesn't hurt anymore. And we've all got them. And one day, those scars won't hurt anymore. And he looks at Thomas, and Thomas bows the knee at that moment. And he says, "Okay, I understand prominence and preeminence." And he looks up at Jesus, "My Lord and my God. My Lord, my God." Have you said that, listening friends? Have you said that, friends here? That's the gospel. When you say, "Yeah, he's my Lord and my God," and Paul at the end of his life says, "I know whom, not what." This isn't knowledge. "I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced emphatically without a doubt that he's able to keep what I've committed." He's able to keep what you've committed to him against that day. What a gospel. Who is Jesus? God himself, your Savior and your friend. Father, thanks again for your love. Demonstrated on a brutal, bloody Roman gallows so long ago. God, you reconciled the world to yourself in Christ Jesus, and we believe that with all our heart. Help us, Lord, to live like it's true. To not just say it, but to walk in it. We all need a fresh touch from your Spirit. Thank you for the holiday season in March, for an hour early to spend time with you. We love you. Amen. One song and then a quick benediction. Everybody's really quiet, man.